Right, this is tape 29 of Douglas Furster now. So you said that Professor Gott was doing work in environmental activities.
I think he had environmental things and maybe, you know, some hydrometallurgy, some grinding. He seemed to like to do things on a big scale, but what I went and visited some of his things, but never could not quite appreciate it. But there at Clausthal, another very good person from originally from Karlsruhe, Kurt Leshansky, German, but he really has a Polish name, Leshansky, Leshonski, excellent man, and was in the chemical engineering doing the particle work, and Leshansky got a huge environmental institute, and I mean huge, and a whole big building, and then some 50 million marks he was given by the, to me it seems almost outrageous, for this institute. And when we were there, this is now 95, when we went back to do our last couple of months the Humboldt, I think it was 95 when it was a dedication of it. And the person who came to do the dedication in the conference room auditorium of this institute was the governor of Niedersachsen, Lower Saxony. And the governor was Schroeder, Schroeder, who is now the Chancellor of Germany.
Oh.
So he was there in quite an informal way and, you know, gave the ribbon-cutting remarks and you know, I almost think he didn't have a necktie on. I'm just vaguely thinking, I can't imagine him not having a necktie. He must have, but anyway, he's now the head of all Germany, Schroeder, but this institute, I just don't see it. They were doing things like taking car bodies apart. Now, the Bureau of Mines did that 25 years ago, you know, shredding car bodies and separate, and taking old tires and doing stuff with it. I was not impressed with what they were doing. But then, about 2 years ago, let me see if I can get the time right. It's maybe a little more than that. Scherner retired from as a professor in Aufbereitungstechnik. That's the Institute for Mineral Processing. And I just can't believe it. Gock said, "Well, we don't need anybody in mineral processing." You know, I just can't imagine somebody saying, "Hey, we don't need anybody else in my field." And they, believe it or not, they voted the faculty of the mining mineral processing side to have Schoenert's successor to establish an institute for backfilling of mines. Can you imagine a professor of mine backfilling? Of studying sand to pour down mines. I just can't believe it. But that is what they've done, and not replaced Schoenert in that way. But they've, you know, hired this somebody whose field is
pouring sand down holes.
I think extremely sad and very 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 unsettling. Of course, we all know what's happening in other parts of the world too. Mineral education.
Mm.
But anyway, we had the three.
Maybe you could look at it this way, that they figured that you learned all there was to learn.
could be. Hey, do you want to go a little longer?
I can if you want.
Let's just...
All right. Okay. I had wanted to ask you, I know that there were times when you had other choices to make, so let's talk a little bit about roads that you did not take in your career.
Okay. I'll just tell you about a little of that. In 1962, I was promoted to full professor here, and which is exactly what I wanted. And
it was awfully young, wasn't it?
I was 33. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's fairly young, very young,
really. For a full professor.
Anyway, I had the following year a call from somebody from Booz Allen Hamilton, that consulting company that wanted to come and talk to me about coming to Kennecott as a research director. And so he came out, and in fact, I remember we had dinner over at Ernie's, only time I think I've ever been in Ernie's, a restaurant in San Francisco. And we, spent the evening talking, and I told him, I was doing exactly what I wanted to do, and I really didn't, had no plans to move. It came across almost incredible to him, and that's about the words he used, that somebody age 34 had attained the heights that he was wanted in his life. And I mean, he told me that, and I said well, what the person you really want to hire is Rush Spedden, because I thought Spedden had done a very fine job as a manager of research there at Union Carbide. And so then the following year I had a call or letter, I forget which, from John Kinnear, who was the general manager of the Utah division of Kennecott. You ever meet Kinnear?
No, I've heard the
seen his name probably, mm-hmm. But he must have retired long ago. Well, obviously, before Jocklick moved up. Anyway, I met him in Denver. It was an AIME meeting, and he wanted to talk, and we talked quite a while. And again, I told him, I really don't want to leave Berkeley and go into industry. I said, why don't you hire Russ Spedden, who I recommended a year ago? They then did hire Russ Spedden. Mm-hmm. And Spedden himself told me, quite a while ago, that about the time when Kinnear retired, he said, one of his major disappointments in life was not being able to hire me. But anyway, that was one that was an early one. Then I suppose it was about in 67. I was at an AIME meeting, and somebody named Albert Osborne came up to see me. And he was vice president of research for Penn State. And he said, Penn State would like to have me come back there as head of the mineral processing department. And I told Osborne, I didn't want to leave Berkeley, but I said, why don't you hire my good friend Frank Applin, because he's got all the same degrees I have, mm-hmm. which is true. I think he'd be, a great addition for you people. And as you know, that's exactly what happened. But that's where that came from. Mm-hmm. By the way, Osborne later became, we'll be talking about one of his roles on mineral institutes, but he was head of the Bureau of Mines for several years. Mm-hmm. And I got to know him quite well later on. But then it must have been about 1970. I don't even have any record of this, but I had a call from somebody, I still remember his name, Jack Adamson, who said he was the vice president for academic affairs at University of Utah, and he said, you know, we'd like to have you come back here. And he says, you know, we got the best goddamn one-man metallurgy department in the world here. He's talking about Milt Wadsworth. And we'd like to have you come back as dean of the College of Mines. So I finally agreed to come back and talk to them. And so I spent a whole day talking with different people. I mean, the different department heads in the College of Mines, which were geology, mining, meteorology, metallurgy, I forget what there was, even more. And then I spent an hour from 3 to 4 talking with the president, who was Fletcher. I'd have to look up his first name, but Fletcher eventually became head of NASA. And you know, when the Challenger, was that the name of the one that blew up? When that blew up, he'd retired, they called him back to straighten NASA out again. Now this is the Fletcher who was president of University of Utah when I did my dealings. And then after that, I gave a seminar at 4, you know, I could hardly move my jaw after talking all day with every department head and then with the president, and then to go in there and give a seminar, and four of us, went up to Fort Douglas, you know, where which now I guess the university has everything, but they had kind of a faculty club there, or officers club, and so.
This is at Salt Lake.
This is Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City, right.
Right, right. And, you know, Fort Douglas, I guess, when they sent the army out to keep the Mormons under control at the turn of the century or something like that. So there were maybe 5 of us, and maybe 4 of us had a cocktail. And one person may have had ginger ale or something. So then there was a dinner, big round table with Fletcher and other deans and stuff like that. Anyway, at the end of the dinner, the Mormons turned their cups upside down. The only 4 people didn't have the cups upside down were the 4 of us that had the cocktail up at Fort Douglas. So anyway, I had a call some days later from...
We should say this is to indicate that they didn't drink coffee.
Nothing... No stimulant other than sexual, I guess, that the Mormons will have. Anyway, Fletcher called me up and made an offer that, well, first of all, I brought home a newspaper, and the Salt Lake newspaper had quite a bit that so-and-so went outside the valley to visit somebody, you know, in the local paper, and that was an expression. They went outside the valley, or they returned to the valley, and you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Fletcher offered me, said, I'll make the deans pay 9 months so that you can then get a 3-month summer as off research money, which would, you know, make it much bigger than what the dean's pay already was, whatever it was. Then he said, I'll give you a car, which suppose there'd be a certain amount of driving around to do student recruiting. And then I'll pay for 1 trip a year to New York City for your wife.
Wow.
So you knew I wasn't a Mormon, right? But I mean, even that touch of out of his kitty, he would pay 1 trip a year for my wife to New York.
So she could.
Anyway, he called me back a couple times. Finally, I turned it down, and I could just sort of hear the air go out of the balloon, you know. And I said, I just don't want to do that. You know, if for all, a lot of this, I've been any place but here. You know, I might have been a fine thing to do. If I didn't live here, I'd live in Salt Lake. When you know, would have been.
It's a nice place.
Sure, sure. I could easily have done that, but I just didn't want to leave here. And then, you know, I actually had been asked to come back to interview for being Dean of Engineering at Columbia, and I think that must have been about 1980. And I didn't relish even the thought of it. I'd made a consulting trip down here to Exxon, you know, on that Highway 238 or whatever the thing, 37 or whatever it is, goes along south end of the bay, is where it's all that Silicon Valley stuff is, and it's just like a parking lot driving along there. And I thought to myself, you know, coming and going, and I thought to myself, you know, boy, why would I ever want to get into this sort of situation? Anyway, I was going to fly there to New York on Sunday, and on Sunday I came down with the flu, and I called him up, or else had Peg call him, one or the other, and just said, hey, I've got the flu, and I'm going to, you know, cancel. I then canceled the whole thing. I was going to make the trip without any real interest in doing it, and
the idea of living in New York just didn't appeal.
Yeah, well, I didn't want, you know, I didn't want to leave here, and so you know, what I did was through the years was generally somebody start to approach me about something. They don't do it anymore, of course, but I cut a lot of things off right off because. You've got to do your stewing if you've got, you know, do I want to do this or don't I want to do it? And so the easiest thing is don't listen to them. I mean.
And you already knew what you wanted?
Yeah, oh yeah, I got inquiries about being a dean or something from a number of places, if you say no right off, it's that, like I say, it's that stewing that. But I'll tell you one more that happened early on, which was something different. I had a call from some organization that wanted me to go to the Philippines for 2 years to set up and improve their metallurgy program in the University of the Philippines in Manila. And I thought not very many minutes about it, and I said, hey, I've got big problems of building things up here. I want to go to the Philippines and build something up there? And what they were offering, whatever this program was, they would pay for the, for example, the college education of any of your offspring outside of the country, etc., this was a 2-year thing, and this was far enough back that our kids were little, so that was not an incentive. But I said, well, I'd heard that Milt Wadsworth, who you've heard me talk about several times, that they had gone up to British Columbia on a sabbatical, and it was raining all the time, and Miriam, Mrs. Wadsworth, wanted out of there. The rain was too depressing, I suppose, if you come from the desert. So I all of a sudden thought, well, now Milt is on sabbatical, and I think he has six daughters, of which they were probably all in about that age at the time. And And I said, look, why don't you approach him? I said, I know he's up in Vancouver at the moment and not happy there. And lo and behold, they took it. And that was apparently something that was a great family experience, because they have always talked about their time in Manila. And, mm-hmm. I remember Milt saying he took his whole family on the afterwards and a whole trip around the world coming mm-hmm. back. And he made the statement that, I intend to go to the grave leaving nothing behind, and so I might as well spend it on my kids now. I mean, I don't know how he believes the current time, but they did this. And my brother Maury was 2 years in the metallurgy department at the University of Utah, and he went there as an associate professor, and they promoted him the next year to full professor, and then he left. I've never visited anybody like that. I remember Joyce, his wife, on the front steps of the house they were living in. This family's a Mormon, that one's a Baptist, that's a Mormon, that's a Catholic, that's a Mormon. I knew the religion of everybody. I don't even know the names of neighbors that get too far away, let alone what religion. But that sort of shows you what it's like in mm-hmm. Salt Lake City. And so anyway, Maury, the Mormon kids went play with his kids because they had to do things after school naturally. And so Maury left and went to South Dakota. Mm-hmm. And Wandsworth has always said, I've heard him say it several times, he said, I really regret not being in Salt Lake when Maury decided to go, because if I'd been there, he wouldn't have gone. But I mean, even more fairly recent years that he's made that comment. Uh-huh. He really liked to have seen Maury stay. And mm-hmm. if he hadn't been in the Philippines,
he would have pressured him.
And given him the good,
mm-hmm. the more good, inducement,
the good pitch, I just thought three of these incidents right. might be kind of interesting to hear about, like I said, I cut all the rest, mm-hmm. lots of things off very, very quickly.
Well, this might be a good place to stop, and then next time we'll go on to department chairman
right.
and your professional de-editing of the journal.